All right. It is now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Jack.
My name is Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. And those of you who know me know that I do not need a microphone. I don't need this at all. I can speak loudly and without it. But anyway, it's interesting. Bill called me to come and do this, and yesterday I celebrated 28 years of sobriety, continuous sobriety. And I didn't come here. I didn't want to have anything to do with this lame group of sons of bitches. I came here. I drank and used a lot. I'm an old drug dealer, and 28 years ago, in 1988, January 31st, I was arrested by the Tulare. I always call it a professional intervention by the Tulare County Narcotics Task Force, which was the third time that the SWAT team had been to my house in the 20 years previous to that. And I just did a lot of damage. I did a lot of stuff in that whole process. I loved alcohol. I loved drugs. I loved all of those things. I liked how it made me feel. And I had an absolute wonderful time with it. If you sit down and look at my history, you could almost kind of write a book about the trips to Miami, da-da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff, you know. But in reality, you always end up doing errands for the connection. That's really what it boils down to. And no matter where you are in the chain. And on my last arrest, the thing I really remember was sitting in the back of the squad car and well, in the beginning, they come in and the SWAT team hits me and you know, and I'm yelling and screaming and telling them I want a search warrant, and they tell me, you know, shut up, Ramsey, you know the drill. And, you know, and it just, you know, yeah. And then I finally, after, you know, I'm in the back of the squad car, and all I could think of is, where the hell have you guys been? I'm just tired. I just can't do this anymore. I hit Tulare County and called my bail bondsman and said, don't bail me out. Don't bail me out. One thing that got me this time, there was too much weight to not, you know, I was going to prison. And I just figured I was on my way to prison. No big deal. It's you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. That's exactly how I lived my life and up until I was 35. So I was just on my way to the joint. And this little gal I married in the visiting room came to me and said, and my dad, what happens, my dad had actually come to me and said, I'll bail you out if you go to this recovery program. I told him, this is a quote, I told him to go fuck himself. Okay, it's just no way, you know, I know where the process is, I know where I'm going, it's no big deal. And it had been my fifth felony arrest, and I'm the kind of person that gets arrested, and when you go for bail reduction, they raise it higher. You know, those kinds of things had been happening to me for a long time. And she talked me into going to this recovery home. She said, you know, if you go to this recovery, we can do this and you know, and you can be out. And so I finally said, okay. So after 5 months, I went to the recovery home. I pled out and then I had an appealable case, and I ended up going to a recovery home. And that's where I was introduced. The first night there, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was this group of people just happy and clapping and having a good time. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. You guys were lame. But I did the magic thing. I did the thing that I heard in the rooms. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I didn't drink and I didn't use, and I got a sponsor, all right, but not really. to be honest with you. I just got a sponsor because you were supposed to do that. But I happened to, in the recovery home, I happened to actually have the opportunity to kind of work the steps. And it really got me on that process of how to do an inventory. And there was somebody who was nice enough to just said, just write down your feelings. Well, it's pretty fucking ugly. I mean, you know, I was angry and da-da-da and blamed everybody else. It was a lot of different stuff going on. And the other thing they did is they taught me how to pray. And I didn't want to have anything to do with that, but they told me when you went to bed, put your shoes way underneath the bed and then take a couple of minutes and sit down. And I'll be honest with you, those were not nice prayers. But it's amazing when you sit down on your knees and humble yourself how the prayers change over time. And a really short time blew me away. Okay? And at the end of 90 meetings in 90 days, and the end of 90 days in the recovery home, they kicked me loose, and I still didn't want what you lame people had, okay? But I figured out that maybe it was better. I'd figured out that I didn't want what I had, because I had spent. If you looked at how my life was and the kind of money that I had and the kind of things and all that other kind of stuff, it would look real glamorous. But really, in reality, I was sitting in my bedroom, holed up, you know, getting loaded and not wanting to see anybody, and, you know, with the shades drawn is what it boils right down to. I was a little more flamboyant than that, but essentially that's how I felt. That's how I felt. I was just trapped, and it gets really, really hard. I remember in December, the only Christmas card I got was from a guy who did a bunch of murders and said, and a Christmas card said, "I like you better when you're drunk." And I remember one day Bobby came by and he passed away, but came by, and I looked at him and I said, "Some days it's really hard to be an alcoholic when you don't want to drink," because I just didn't want to drink. It had been a 5-month run. I'd left the house once to deliver an AR-15 and you know, to the Colombians, and that's the only thing I'd done in 5 months. I'd had everything brought in and booze and all the other kind of stuff, and it literally got to the point where I couldn't pay people to party with me. I mean, it just, and that's the bottom line. That's what it ended up like. And so I said, they told me if I did this and I wouldn't have to go to prison. I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. I knew I was going to prison anyway, but what the hell. But I carried a court card for the next 2 years. And during that process, I worked the steps. I worked the steps multiple times. That little gal that I went to visit that talked me into going to the recovery home, she lasted, when I got home, she lasted 2 days before she was shooting dope in the downstairs bathroom. And she just, and God bless her, she was a really great gal, but a good human being. There was no way she was ever going to be sober. And I had to make decisions, and they were hard decisions. And I left. I went back to the recovery home and said, "Everybody in my house is drinking and using," and I just, you know, and then I came back and stayed at some other people's place and continued to go to meetings, and found myself a sponsor who, thank God, he looked at me and he got tired of me pissing and moaning and whining about her and everything else, and said, "I'm not going to listen to you." Carolyn remembers. Okay. And Jim, Carolyn, Jim, Mike, Sammy, there's a number of people in this room who are, but anyway, said, "I'm not going to listen to you whine anymore unless you bring it to me on paper." And that's the best thing that ever happened, because I would write all those feelings down, and they weren't pleasant. And then sometimes I would look at them the next day and go, "Oh, that's fucking crazy. I'm not sharing that with anybody. Okay, I'm not doing that." And I did service, and I did I probably in those days, this was in the 80s, we did secretaried too many meetings, and I did H&I, and I did all of that stuff while carrying a court card and knowing I was going to prison. But they kept telling me that if I stayed clean and did all that, I wouldn't have to go to prison. Well, they lied. I had to go to prison. So, but after 2 years sober, I went to prison, and that was good. Prison's the easiest thing I've ever done. Prison's only a detriment until you go, or a deterrent until you go. Pretty easy life, not real difficult. Got in great shape. The first thing I did when I got there is I got involved in AA. I found myself in DBI, and I found myself a sponsor who was a lifer and worked the steps with him, and lived there in prison, and said, well, if you think about the outside, then you won't, it'll drive you nuts. So just work the steps here, live here, and it was a really good experience living in today. That's how you got to do it. It's all you got, and I got out and worked in recovery. Started a number of step study meetings. Once again, did the steps in codependency, did the steps in a whole bunch of other things, and I've made all the mistakes in sobriety that you can imagine. I'm on my fifth marriage, but I've stuck with her she's put up with me for 22 years now, the other four gals were pretty nice. The only thing they had in common was me. I wonder where the problem was. Lost lots of friends, lost people in recovery, been through divorces, been through all those things, and never had to drink and never had to use. It's pretty simple. And today, and the people, I really want to congratulate the people in that under 1 year, because that's a big deal. 28 years is no big deal. After you've been here long enough, you've made the decision, you're not going to drink, you're not going to use, then it's, I'm just living life on life's terms. It's not fair. I don't like it. There are some days, they told me that you could live your way into proper thinking. That did not happen to me. I still, when I go to a concert, try to figure out where the money is and how many guns and what it takes to rob it. And it's just how it's going to be. It's not going to change. I still live exactly the same way. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. I'm just not willing to do the time anymore. It's just not worth it. I'll do my own time. I'm not doing anybody else's. I've become a citizen. It blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. And I've embraced the program of Alcoholics Anonymous all the way. And now I'm one of you lame sons of bitches. So, and actually really proud of it. Really, really proud of it. I've learned how to be a husband. I've learned how to be a father. I've learned how to be a grandfather. Hell, I've learned how to take care of my dog. I didn't know how to do that when I walked into this program. I didn't know how to love unconditionally. I'm still a scam artist. Okay? I literally still want to scam and do all that stuff. I just don't do it. There's a reason to throw an old man down a set of stairs. Just don't do it. And that's exactly, that's what it is. Alcoholics Anonymous made me aware of the consequences. The steps and the inventories have made me aware of the consequences. To this day, I still do lots of inventories. I poor Sammy got one the other day, and they sat down, and I was real proud. out. I hand it to her and said, can I send this? She goes, fuck no, you can't send this. That's rude. And I was all proud. It's all like the third version. So, you know, so the thinking really hasn't changed much, but the actions have changed. I've learned how to look like a citizen. I've learned how to act like a citizen. And as Tommy McDonald's told me one time, I said, you know, I calculate everything. Everything's a calculation. I'm running this and doing this and da 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 da. And he says, yeah, but sometimes you just don't have time to do the calculation and you're nice out of habit. And I, God damn it. You know, because I don't like it, you know. But it really is true. That's an accurate thing. So I actually have, to some degree, learned how to think a little bit better. And my days are wonderful. I have absolutely wonderful days. Each day I live things one day at a time. I make long-range plans. But I oftentimes have real bad moments. Real, real bad moments. And I've learned how to get through it. I've learned that the bad moments will go away. This morning, I started the day out really bad. Really, really bad. And as I'm leaving the house, I'm thinking, well, you know, an old saying that I've heard for a long time is, it's always darkest before the dawn. And I used to say that in the drinking and using days. And that's how it felt. I managed to stay out of trying to fix anything. And guess what? It pretty much fixed itself. You know, it's amazing. I've learned how to stay out of the way, the wisdom to know the difference, you know. Not afraid to make changes, not afraid to make decisions, not afraid to deal with responsibilities and consequences. But sometimes the smartest thing, and I do this so often, every day, just wait 24 hours, especially when I'm angry. And people tell you, when I'm angry is when I'm quiet. Okay. And I'm not, yeah, and I get real angry. So, because I'm planning, plotting. 28 years later, I'm still planning and plotting. So, and the promises have done so much, you know. I live a program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it's just every day we talk AA, we do AA. I don't go to many meetings anymore. I really don't. I secretaried the Monday night men's stag, which was my home group for. I secretaried that for 7 years. Was my home group for what, 20 years or something like that? And that group of old guys taught me how to be a husband. Because I found people who had what I wanted, and I hung out with them until some of it rubbed off on me. And I couldn't have done that without Alcoholics Anonymous. I couldn't have done that without the love and the fellowship that I find in these rooms. There are times when I don't want to come. But I do. Anytime someone calls me and asks me to speak, or anytime a newcomer calls me and says, I want to go to a meeting, bingo, I go. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. The newcomers are the lifeblood of this program. It's so wonderful to see people, to watch the light turn on is the best way to describe it. Because I came in here not really dark, but I overcompensated by pretending to be light. And today, I really don't have to pretend anymore. It's good days, and there's pretty good stuff inside my heart, generally, as long as you don't piss me off. So, you know. I'm still self-centered. I'm still self-centered. I'm still all, you know, that's always going to happen. One of the things I've just learned, that it's in my best interest to not act self-centered. And probably the little puppy taught me that more than anything else. I don't think until I had a dog that I I learned how to love unconditionally, something that was needed me and nurtured me, and I nurtured back, and that's literally how I love to. And you laugh about this, but I tell my darling wife, it's like, you know, I love you like I love Sparky, and it's actually a compliment, because someone the other day, somebody in the office the other day said I was telling the little dog that I love him more than anything in the world. He says, more than Sammy? And I stopped and I went, well, you really can't place a quantitative analysis on something that's as big as the world, you know, that hasn't, you know, and it's just, and I've learned that just in the last probably 5 years. So, you know, the program Alcoholics Anonymous just continues, in, you know, and it's because Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that my way of thinking isn't accurate. And the inventories, the 10th steps, the 4th steps that I do all of the time, the writing I take, there's something magic happens when you take this, you put the pen to the paper, because you see all that insanity. Because it'll run in my head all the time and I'll justify it. Hell, I run around and try to get everybody to buy off on my bullshit, and the best I can get is, yeah, I can see why you might want to do that, but I don't think it's a good idea. You know, but you know, because I'll go to 6 people to try to get an answer I want, and I'm pretty fucking manipulative. But they know me, and they know me well enough, and it's in these rooms well enough to tell me the truth. Okay? Might not listen today, might be angry at you for 3 or 4 days, but in the long run, the message got through, because I know that they genuinely care for me. You know? And I used to be able to run through the steps and do all that stuff and go step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. I don't do that really as part of my spiel. I'm 64 years old. I can't remember shit. And the other part is, when I walk people through the steps, I literally just do it in the book. I do it in the big book, because it's there. It's easy to find. And you can, and every time you open that big book, every time I read something out of it, still to this day, it's different than the last time I read it, than the time before that, and the time before that. And I've got a bunch of different editions of it. So, and I haven't read this latest edition much. I came in the 3rd edition, not the 4th. What edition are we on now? 4th?
4th.
4th, yeah. Yeah. And the meetings were different. Now, the people in the room that you see around you, those of you who are in recovery homes, stick with each other. There's a whole crew of us. I want to welcome somebody who is going to celebrate in February. I really want to welcome you to the February group. It used to have probably, there were 50 of us in that was in a group like this. We all came in 1988 and 89, and it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. We've gotten old and we've died and we move off to different places. Some of them drink, some of them use, some of them do different things. But that group of that camaraderie that we had in that initial few years was absolutely amazing, and was an integral part of my sobriety. You know, we learned how to, people that normally wouldn't get along, we learned to get along. We learned to like each other. We learned to care about each other. That's amazing. That was beyond my comprehension. I'm a predator. I don't think like that, but I'm grateful for it. So, and that's about it. I'm starting to just wane. It's past my bedtime in reality. Hey, I got up at 2:00 this morning and I worked with the crews all day long at 64. That's not easy to do. I can still do it, but I hurt. I hurt at the end of the day. And there's nobody here that complains when a meeting ends early. What time do I have? A few minutes left? Yeah, but 15 minutes?
10
minutes, but anything I say is going to be bullshit. At this point, I'm making stuff up. So anyway, I want to welcome all of you to the program Alcoholics Anonymous. If anybody wants to work the steps and is interested in sitting down with a book and somebody who will make it easy, I will make you write. I will make you do the things like the book says. Then please come up to me and I'll give you my number. Thanks. Have a great day.